Please. John chapter 19. Thank you, Brother Snyder and church, for allowing us to come back this year and be a part of the Jubilee, and always a blessing to come to church at Calvary Baptist Church. Always good to be in the meeting with the old past and appreciate their music and their ministry and their love for the Lord Jesus. Always good to see Brother T.D., Miss Joy. What a blessing they are to my life. John 19, are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
I am blessed tonight. Since I was here last March, I've become a grandpa. Yeah. Here's her picture right here. Ain't she pretty, Doug? She looks like her poppy, don't she? Yeah, she goes with me everywhere I go that I carry this book. She goes with me. But it's such a blessing. And Brother T.D. just got a text over there that he just had his third great-grandchild in just the last few moments. So business is picking up, isn't it? Amen. Alabama fans, amen. Bringing some more on. John 19, are you there? Say amen. I want to read verse number 23 and verse number 24 tonight from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Bible said these words: "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did.'" I want to preach tonight from this thought for just a little while. Behold the Lamb of God. If you read the Gospel of John and the book of the Revelation, you'll find that John really liked that phrase, the Lamb of God. It's found 2 times in John chapter 1 and found 29 times in the Revelation. Jesus referred to as the Lamb of God. And the analogy of the Lamb refers to that specialness, that sinlessness, that sacrifice, that saving ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, in chapter number 1, verse number 29 and verse number 36, John calls us tonight to behold the revealed Lamb of God. Remember what he said? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Verse 36, John chapter 1, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now that word "behold" is interesting. It literally means this: it means you don't just glance at Jesus, but you gaze at Jesus. You fix your sight upon him. And why did John reveal Jesus as the Lamb of God in John chapter 1? Why didn't he say, "Behold Jesus, the Son of God. Behold the Holy One of God. Behold the Christ of God." Or, "Behold the Word of God." I'll tell you why. Because, number one, of the people to which he spoke. He was speaking to a bunch of Jews. And when John referred to the Lamb of God, no doubt their mind went back to some Judean hillside with a shepherd tending a flock of sheep. Or possibly their mind went to the altar of sacrifice where there was a substitutionary lamb atoning for sin. Four of the five Levitical offerings found in the Old Testament economy dealt with a lamb: the burnt offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. The only offering that did not refer to the substitutionary death of a lamb was the grain offering. John said, I want you to behold the Lamb of God. Number two, because the Passover was soon. You see, when John made these statements in revealing Jesus as the Lamb of God, the celebration of the Passover feast was nigh. It was that time that the Jews would remember their exodus from Egypt, the birth of the Hebrew nation, when they had been redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb. And as John said these words, it's very possible that in the background that they could hear the bleating of sheep as they were being led into the temple to be used in the sacrificial offering as they commemorated Passover. And John said, you're hearing the sheep bleating that's going to be offered on the altar of sacrifice to celebrate the Passover. Hey, folks, let me tell you, here is the Lamb of God. Here's the real Lamb of God. John chapter 1, Jesus is revealed as the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God revealed. Then you get to John chapter 20. John tells us to behold the resurrected Lamb of God. You go to John chapter 14. John says, behold the returning Lamb of God. But you get to John chapter 19 and John says, behold the redeeming Lamb of God. And I want to preach tonight by the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want to look particularly tonight at verse 23 and 24 at the clothing of the Lord Jesus. Did you know that at least three different times, according to the scripture, during the events of the crucifixion of Jesus, that Jesus had a change of clothing? The Bible says when they took him in Luke chapter 23, verse number 11, when they took him before the court of Herod, the word of God said this, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, a splendid robe, and sent him again to Pilate. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 27 through 30, that when he stands before Pilate, the word of God said, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him. And they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him. And he took the reed and smote them on the head. Before Herod, the Bible said they put on him a gorgeous robe or a splendid robe. When he stands before Pilate, the Bible said they put on him a scarlet robe. But yet the Bible said in Matthew 27, 31, Mark chapter 15, verse number 20, that after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Mark said it this way. They took the purple robe off of him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. We read about that tonight in the text. The Bible said the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, They took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part. That tells me tonight that there must have been four soldiers that were attending to the crucifixion of Jesus. The Bible says that they separated between themselves four pieces of his clothing, but the Word of God says he had five. There was his sandals. There was his girdle or his belt. There was his headdress. There was his outward cloak. And then there was that special inward garment that was woven from the top to the bottom that was without seam. Now here's what the Bible said. After they had crucified Jesus. And that means this. After they had stripped him naked. Hello? Now I know some of you tonight saying, now, Brother Dave, you missed that. You hadn't seen the pictures. Well, you need to read the Bible and get the real picture. Amen. Understand why artists of our day that paints the crucifixion scene will paint some kind of garment over the private area of the Lord Jesus to show modesty. But listen to me, friend. When they nailed him to that cruel cross, they stripped him of every bit of his clothing, and Jesus Christ hanged on the cross of Calvary in shame and degradation. He hanged there naked. Amen. One soldier took his sandals. One soldier took his girdle. One soldier took his headdress. And one soldier took his outward cloak. But when they came to that seamless garment that was woven from the top to the bottom, instead of rendering it into four different pieces, they didn't realize what they were doing, but they were fulfilling Psalm number 22. The Bible said, they said, let's not tear it apart, but let's cast lots for it, and whoever wins gets it. And the Bible said when they did that, they fulfilled the scripture. For the Word of God said that they would rend, would cast lots for his garment. And it was literally fulfilled at the cross. Now I want to talk tonight about the significance of that. You say, now, Brother Dave, what's so significant about this one piece of clothing? What's so special about it? And it was special. It was special in the fact that these soldiers decided not to rend it. Because if they had torn it in part, it would have lost its value. So they decided to keep it together. What's so special about this garment, preacher? Well, there's some things that make it special. Number one, this garment, this woven from the top without seam, pictures the perfection of the Lord Jesus who was dying on the cross. You see, it pictures his perfect righteousness. John MacArthur said that it is also a picture of his priestly mission. For the Bible said in Exodus chapter 34 that the high priest also wore a linen garment that was without seam. And you know the Bible teaches us what a priest was. A priest was a go-between between man and God. If you'll study that word priest, it actually has the thought of a bridge builder. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing at the cross. He was building a bridge between sinful man and holy God. And if he had not built that bridge, none of us would have ever been able to get to holy God. He was a bridge builder. But there's something else about that garment. You remember in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had sinned, before sin came into the garden, Adam and Eve were in a state of innocence. They walked through the garden naked, but they were innocent. But yet when sin came into the garden, they lost that innocence. And because of sin, guilt and shame came upon them. And they went over and tried to sew some fig leaves together to hide their nakedness. But the Bible said that God came down, walking in the cool of the day. And he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam? And Adam reports to God. God says, Adam, your attempt to sew fig leaves together to cover your nakedness is not going to cut it, son. You're going to have a sacrifice. Something is going to have to die in your place and shed blood so that your nakedness can be covered. And you remember what God did? He took an innocent animal and slew that animal and shed its blood and covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. May I remind you that when the first Adam sinned, God took naked Adam and he covered his nakedness. But at the cross, God took the second Adam and uncovered him. And he hung there uncovered in shame and degradation. You say, Brother Dave, why? Why in the world would God cover the first Adam in the Garden of Eden and allow his darling son at the cross of Calvary to be uncovered? Let me tell you why. God uncovered Jesus at the cross so he could cover me and you in the righteousness of his son. That's why he uncovered him at the cross. Had God not uncovered Jesus at the cross, we would have died hopeless and helpless. But I want to tell you, thank God, at the cross, God uncovered Jesus so that you and I could be covered with the righteousness of his son. Amen. You say, Brother Dave, is that scriptural? Oh, yes. Yeah. So let me kindly walk through this. At the cross, when God uncovered Jesus so that we could be covered in his righteousness, God had finished the plan of salvation. Now I'll tell you something. There's no other way for unregenerate men and unregenerate women to be right with God other than the fact that God imputes to us the righteousness of his Son. and we stand before holy God in the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, because God at the cross uncovered him so he could cover me. And now I stand before holy God in the righteousness of his Son. Amen. It's finished. That's what he said. The plan of salvation was completed. That word in the Greek is tetelestai. It means forever done. It has the thought of an artist standing before a beautiful painting. And when he makes that last stroke upon that painting, he would say, tetelestai, forever done. May I tell you, at the cross of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus Christ died in my place, and he bowed his head and cried, it is finished, and Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, salvation's plan was forever done. Amen. Done. Say, Brother Dave, how then do we get on in on that? Well, we get in on it by faith at our conversion. The Bible said, Romans chapter 4, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory. Listen to me, but not before God. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he hath promised he is able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I don't miss this. Now it was not written, Paul said, for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also. I like that. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised Jesus up from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You say, Brother Dave, when did you get in on this? I got in on it the night I got saved, when I got converted, when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when I believed on the Son. It was imputed to me his righteousness. Amen. His righteousness. So by faith at conversion, we have imputed to us the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And it's all because at the cross God uncovered Jesus so that he could cover us. You got that? He uncovered Jesus so he could cover us. Not only by faith, but literally in fulfillment. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 19, one day at the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the church and the bride get together, the Word of God says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. How'd she get ready, preacher? She got ready through the cross. And to her, to the bride was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Somebody said, Brother Dave, when I get to heaven, I can't wait to get before God and show God my righteousness. Honey, let me help you tonight. You ain't got none. I know that ain't good grammar, but it's good preaching. The Bible says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But there is a part of me tonight that you can't see right now, but one day you will. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'll be there arrayed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints that was provided for me at the cross. Amen. At the cross. Why, preacher? Because God uncovered him so that I might be covered. Amen. That's not all. After the marriage supper, by faith in fulfillment, the marriage supper, we're going to have a part in the finale. Revelation 19. 13 and 14. And he, Jesus, was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, that's us, followed him upon white horses. What are you going to be wearing, preacher? I'm going to be clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You say, how come? Because at the cross, God uncovered Jesus that he could cover me. Amen. To cover me. And one day, we will literally wear the robe of his righteousness. White, clean, fine linen at the marriage supper. And then when we mount those horses and come back at the second coming with Jesus, we'll wear that robe of righteousness, all because on a hill called Calvary, God uncovered Jesus that he could cover us in his righteousness. Amen. And I want you to know tonight, if you ever get inside the portals of glory, it's not going to be by your works of righteousness. It's not going to be by your religiousness. It's not going to be by anything that you can ever accomplish or do. It's because you realized that at the cross, God uncovered Jesus so that he could cover you in his righteousness. I wonder tonight in this building, is there someone that has never put their faith and trust in Christ? And I say to you tonight, God will save you and he'll cover you in the righteousness of his Son if you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save you. And you can be saved tonight and covered in the righteousness of Christ because at the cross, God uncovered him that he might cover you in the righteousness of his Son. Boys, you said it well tonight. Oh, What a Savior. Behold the redeeming Lamb of God. Let's bow our heads, Brother Snyder. Amen.
Let me ask you to stand, if you would, please, with your head still bowed, while they sing a song for us, as you consider. God sent us a strong, strong message tonight. If He's speaking to your heart, would you just step out and come down here and kneel down?